I want to encourage you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. If you're in one of those black Bibles under the chair in front of you, it's page 983. 983 is where we're going to be. We're going through this series saying supreme, called supreme, experiencing supreme life that we are meant to have in and with Jesus. And I just what I briefly want to recap from last week, because I didn't actually even get to finish last week. And so I'm just going to try to give us just a little taste of last week. So if you missed last week, you're in good shape here. We're going to be coming through this. What's happening here in this particular letter, this is a letter written by a shepherd, a pastor, a leader named Paul, and he cares for this church family greatly, even though he's never met them. But he sees that they are missing out on the fullness of life, and they're being lulled or tempted to take this pure, powerful, life-giving faith that we're meant to have in Christ with God. And it's getting messed up by all these different philosophies of the world and all of these ways that people are trying to take the power of the good news that we have with Jesus and turn it into something worldly for themselves. And of course, they were experiencing that 2,000 years ago when this letter was written. We see that happening today, where we try to make Christianity about so many different things outside of just the power of this work that God does to transform our lives. And so Paul, the apostle, by the Spirit of God, is saying, nope, that is not meant to take place in the life of the people who follow Jesus. So God, by the Spirit, through this servant, gives us this incredible prayer. It is a prayer to experience the supremacy of Christ over all things and the supremacy of a life that we are meant to have with him. And that's where we're at in Colossians 1, is he's going to pray for us. And you know that if the Spirit of God, the apostle, is praying it over the church, it's a prayer that we were meant to have, meaning God wants this to happen in our lives. So we're just going to briefly, I'm going to try to just go over a couple of things from last week and then finish out this prayer, and we get to just peer into, view, look at the glory and the supremacy of the Son of God over everything. And so you're there in your Bibles in Colossians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 9, and here's the prayer. So, as Paul is saying, from the day we heard about you, we haven't stopped praying for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So he's saying, I want you to know, I want you to see. This prayer is, God, grant me to see and know your ways and your words. They are supernatural and they have life for me. That's what this prayer, that's what he's saying here. Because this, to ask, to understand and know the will of God and to have spiritual understanding is more than help me make good decisions on a Tuesday. And while I think it's a beautiful prayer to pray on a Tuesday, God, help me follow you and trust you, this prayer is greater when we're asking for spiritual wisdom and insight. What we're saying is, God, let me see the whole scope of my life through your eyes. Let me see and understand the world around me. Let me understand my past, as broken as it might have been, or my present, as broken as it might feel, or my future that I have fears or anxiety over. Let me understand, know, see through what you see. It's the most profound thing that could happen in the life of humans, or those made in the image of God, is to have a view, to see things the way God sees them, to see even ourselves and even our stories the beautiful parts of our stories, the wretched parts of our stories that we all have, right? We all have like glorious parts, and then we have some really dark parts. And he's saying, let me see, let me know, what do you have to say about me? What do you have to say about who I am? What do you have to say about every moment of my life? Let me be filled with spiritual wisdom and understanding, meaning I want to have an active ear that is listening to what you're saying. Now, this is what is so powerful about this God that we sing to and treasure and give our words and honor to. He is not there in a distant cloud. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, going into the grave and coming out alive victoriously, it offered and brought and gave to us his very presence here. And the point of God not residing in some temple 10,000 miles away, but for him to take up his residency right here, is so that you and I can have a dialogue with him right now. Can be led by him, can know him, can walk with him. And so if that's the truth, then God has things to say about everything, like everything. God, should I get mint chocolate chip or, you know, what? No, the answer is always chocolate fudge. That's the answer, right? But, it is to say, like, these are the intimate ways in which we can know and walk with God. That's the kind of relating that we can have with God. That's the point of him taking up residence by his Spirit for all who call on the name of Jesus, for hope, for life, to be redeemed, to be restored, for God to take the ashes of our lives and to, in exchange, give us his life, is so that he's with us each and every day, so that we can have his thoughts that are so radically different than our own, which is unbelievable. It's incredible. In fact, he wants to take it from unbelievable to believable, to make it something that actually we can taste. That's what he's saying. And I mentioned last week this text from Isaiah, and I just want to say it again. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Which means, man, there is a way of living and way of seeing everything around us and what we're walking through and the hardships we are experiencing that can be on a completely different plane. And that's the invitation. That's what the Spirit of God is praying over the church. He's praying this for you. We have in the scripture says Jesus is the advocate. He's our high priest. He stands now in heaven fully to pray and to ask God to do this over us by his own power. It's a powerful thing. And the point of knowing God this way in his words is that it sets up this life to be interwoven with him. And so the next part of this prayer, so pray that you would have your eyes open, you'd know spiritually, have understanding. Verse 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Which is effectively to pray, let my life be so in step with you that it touches your heart and it touches the world around me. That's the prayer here. I want to be in step with you. The point of hearing God's voice, knowing his will, it opens us up to the joy of moving in step with him to bear fruit, meaning we have to walk with him each and every day, so that this is not about performance for God. This is actually about the presence of God. You understand, it's easy to read this particular text here in verse 10, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and to go, okay, well, what do I have to do? What do I have to fix? And in fact, what he's saying is you can't do and you can't fix, but if you will have my presence and walk with me in real time, I will lead you in the fullness of life. You will walk in a manner worthy of me when you just walk with me. You don't perform for me, you walk with me. Hey, Michael, could you turn the fans on? I'm hot. I'm getting like worked up in here. I'm kind of getting excited. And if you're cold, I'm sorry. Somebody put your arm around him. The Christmas gift to my boys was that my alma mater, Texas Tech University, Reckham, made the college football playoff, which is to say there is a God. And because it never happens, okay? I just like, you want proof of the living God? Texas Tech was in the college football playoff. And so they were going to play in the Orange Bowl on New Year's Day. It's never happened in the history of this program. And so I was like, well, we're going to go. And so we fly into Fort Lauderdale. I take him over to this real authentic restaurant, and we get this like authentic Italian pizza, and it's just down the road from the very beach where I proposed to my now wife on this beach. So I literally took them over to the beach, and they recreated a weird scene of me like kneeling down or whatever. And we just took that picture. It's super weird, but it's so awesome. Amazing time. Then that night, Fort Lauderdale has a big celebration in the city square, and we get to watch the anchor drop, to the countdown for the new year. Really cool, fun experience. Get up the next morning. Tech is playing the early game, Orange Bowl. We go there, and we got slaughtered. Didn't even score 1 point. I don't know why I'm talking about this. This is awful. This is bad. And it was disappointing, to say the least. And we're just talking about all the things. Defense played amazing. Offense couldn't do anything. And not that it matters to you, but it does to me. It did to us. We're talking through it. And it could have been ruined because you're hoping for a great outcome. But can I just be honest with you? One of the best trips of my life. You know why? Because I was just with my boys. I'm just with my dudes. It doesn't really matter. It'll be a great memory forever. And the greatest thing that you can have when you go through something sad is when you've got your boys with you, or your gals with you, your people with you, so that you are not alone. The point of walking in a manner worthy of God is not to perform for him, but to be with him even in the hard moments. Even in the darkest moments, you have the King with you, and you're not alone. Presence is what pleases him. Your real-time longing for God to speak to you and walk with you and help you when you have failed, when you've fallen short, when you've had great victories, when you've had great successes, you're longing to be with him. That's what pleases the heart of a father. And that's what this is talking about, not you tap dancing for the Lord to all the religious whatever you can do. It is to say, no, I just want to be with you. That pleases him. And what happens is you bear fruit, and then you start to matter to the world around you. You start to matter. You have something to give. When you have the presence of God in you, you get to be radically relevant to everyone around you, not because of you, but he's there with you, helping you love your home and your children and your spouse and your coworkers, and helping you to be present everywhere you go. If we live, Galatians 5, by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. If we live by this Spirit, let's just walk with him and do the dance, and touch the lives of those around us. Now, that sounds amazing, which brings us to the next part of this prayer. I want you to look in your Bibles, verse 11, that we are strengthened. We are strengthened, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Being strengthened with all power according to what? His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Or in other words, God, I need real-time power to face this real messy world with endurance and to be able to overcome with joy. In other words, it will take spirit-enabled power to have a clear vision for what is ahead. If you're going like, I'm not sure where to go and what to do next, what do you and I need? We need more than like a pointing finger. We need power for fresh vision for where he wants to lead us. And to not be strayed, or to not be swayed, I should say, by the world, or to be shaken when we fall short. That's what we need power for, right? If you think about it, when do you most need power? It's when you tanked it, when you fell short, when you got hurt, were wounded, wounded someone else. When do we need power? It's in our failures and the shortcomings. That's what every book or movie or story was all about. The falling short and the need for something. That's when we need life the most. And what he's saying is, I have power to give to you, not according to your own strength, which is such great news. Because I have sought to live a good chunk of life trying to do it myself, even pastoring and even being husband and dad. So feel so tempted to try to control or do it myself. And I fail every time. My strength is not enough for what this church needs, for what my family needs. It's not enough. But in him, his power is beyond. It has power to overcome, power to be forgiven, power to be restored, power to step into something you've never stepped into before. That power exists, and it's outside of you and me, but it is in him. And when he's in you, you got something real. That's amazing. Ephesians 3 says, according to the riches of his glory, would he grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit where? In your inner being. Inner being. Meaning this ain't just human muscle. This is radical believing. Radical believing. It is power to trust in the unfailing love of God. In fact, if I had one prayer for us to get one thing out of this time here today, is there is fresh power to radically believe in the unfailing love of God over our lives. That's what we need power for, to be able to believe, to have fresh determination that's not from our effort, but it's in the faithful love of God to rescue us, to lead us, sometimes rescue us from ourselves, and sometimes rescue us from the circumstances in front of us that are painful or difficult or challenging, or the places of fear or anxiety or worry or doubt. To be able in the inner man to believe in the radical love of God to rescue us from all of it, to lead us through it, to be able to carry the truths of the glory, the infinite worth of this King. who is over all. It is so easy. Come on. It's so easy to get bogged down in the weeds, isn't it? It's so easy. It is amazing. I don't do any gardening, but my wife does, all right? It is the most amazing thing is how easy it is for weeds to sprout up. You got to do all the cultivating or whatever for what you're trying to get, and you got to get the right soil and all the things. But it's amazing how the weeds will just find a way. It's the easiest thing in the world to get caught in the weeds. And the question is, can we rise up to experience the power of this king? Because that's actually what's next here. Before we get to finish this prayer, what is the believing? What are you believing in? What are you putting your hope in? What is the radical trust in? Well, here's the answer. Are you guys ready for this? Let me try that again. You guys ready for this? All right. Okay. What are we believing in? What are we putting our trust in? What are we putting our hope in? Here it is. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Jesus has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. That is where the power is. And this prayer is being prayed so that we will sink our heart fully into what we just read. That's what this letter is saying. And the letter gets broken up by little verses, verse numbers, and they call them pericopes, little headings. But if you just read it as the letter, the prayer gets prayed so that you and I got the guts to believe that. That you and I have the steam, energy, power to believe in this incredible work of redemption, of reconciliation, of transformation that God has done in Christ for us today and tomorrow. That text is going to tell us there are two incredible pieces as we try to carry this good news that we can be reconciled to our Creator. And that is, Jesus is King of the cosmos. And if he's King of the cosmos, he's King over your cosmos. He's King over your heart, your life, my life. He is the King. The entire scripture is saying, the entire universe is being held together by him. They were created by him and from him and for him. All of it. The vastness of space obeying his words. Do you know that if the earth was, if it moved even 1% closer to the sun, or 1%, just 1% further away from the sun, we would all die. We couldn't live. 1%. 1%. If you've ever tried to get your head around the vastness of space, of the fact that the universe is still going out and expanding, and there's black holes and there's billions of stars, and you're gonna ask the question, like, how and why And the answer is, his word is creating and sustaining all of it for his glory and for our greatest joy. I don't know if you guys have gotten to watch the news of the astronauts that just went the furthest that any man has ever left the earth and came back, first ones to see the dark side of the moon. And I don't know if you've seen the reports or not, but they've come back, and as they're trying to unpack these astronauts, what they saw and experienced, one of them, his testimony, he said, it was unbelievable, you can Google this. He said, I'm not a religious person. But after what we saw and experienced, we came back here, and I just felt like I needed something, so we asked for the chaplain to come. And the minute that the chaplain walked in, I saw the cross, and I wept. I broke down. I couldn't hold it together. I was so struck by what I saw and experienced, I feel like I'll be unpacking it for days. And then there was another astronaut who is a believer, and he said, well, I am a religious person, and I had the same experience. They can't get their head around what they saw. And we get a moment, we get these precious moments to think about this God who holds the entire, he spoke it into existence, and he upholds all of it. The entire cosmos obeys his commands. So if you are here and worried about some things in your life, hear this. He's the king of the cosmos, and he is over your life. Will you make him king? Will you bring him in and let him be king? It's amazing what we have. You know, science is based on the idea of the uniformity of nature, of order, right? If you get a 2-pound rock and you hold it today, when you wake up tomorrow, it's going to be 2 pounds tomorrow. The aerodynamics that make planes fly today, that those same principles will exist tomorrow. It's the order of all of creation is incredible. And as I love, as Dr. Keller puts it, it's not chaos, it's cosmos. And it's clear. We have such incredible knowledge now through science of understanding our ordered world. And yet, even atheists will wrestle with the fact that if the universe in their minds was the result of some accidental-ish explosion that maybe kind of took place between molecules, then why would there be order from it? If it was chaos at the beginning, how is there order now? One of the philosophers of the Enlightenment, a guy named David Hume, he's renowned for, he did not believe in religion. And he was just solely dedicated in the Age of Enlightenment. We were discovering things scientifically for the first time in human history. And his sentiment was, there's no way that the orderliness of the universe proves God. That was his thought. He didn't believe that the ordered cosmos proved beyond a shadow of a doubt God, but he said, but I will tell you one thing. The orderliness of the universe is so inexplicable, you certainly can't disprove God. This is someone who didn't want to believe in God. But he was saying the way that the whole world is ordered and held together, there's no way you could say there isn't someone who's calling the shots. These are the things that are perceived, the things of the visible world. And yet there's also an invisible. It says, you can go back and look in your Bibles. It says, verse 16, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Meaning there's also an invisible world that's held together. We have a sense, a moral understanding of the world around us. There is a moral order to the world. And there's a lot of those who want to reject the moral order and say that the experiences that we have, even in humanity, like things that can't be seen, like love or joy, are simple chemical reactions that happen in the amygdala part of our brains. And I just learned what that was, like, you know, studying it this week. I don't even know how to say the word right. That's how bad. my understanding of science is to the glory of God. Amygdala. Thank you. I love my family sitting on the front row, just not afraid to correct me in any way, shape, or form. They know the fallibility of their father. In the amygdala, that's where, I know, that's where we feel emotions. It's where emotions come from. And those that want to reject the idea that there's any kind of God who's ordering these things say, well, the experiences of love, it's just these are chemical things that happen in that part of the brain. But of course, if that's the truth, here's the problem. Then hatred and cruelty and prejudice are also just chemical reactions, and therefore they have no moral weight to them. If you're here and you want to keep God out there as a figment of your imagination, then you have to do a lot of explaining about what we see in the beautiful things of life and the pain of life. And you got to try to understand it somehow, because deep down what we know is there is something more. We do sense a moral order. The invisible can be fully experienced. We do sense the difference between what is light and what is dark. We know it. We know that love and joy are treasured experiences of the human framework, and that hatred and cruelty are evil. It's more than chemical reactions. It is the invisible. He holds it all together, visible and invisible. They're all held together by the one who created it. We sense and know that things are right and wrong because he declares it. Mankind can wrestle with the sense of where all these things come from, and some will try to say that it all comes from within, that each one gets to live by their own personal truth. But of course, we know that doesn't hold up in any real argument, because personal truth, my personal truth, will inevitably invade your personal truth, and you candidly can't have 8 billion personal truths without offending each other. And that's what you see happening in the world. The whole world's living offended because everyone's trying to live on their personal truth. And we will violate each other over and over and over again with our own personal truths. That is chaos. But in the cosmos, the King shows us in our hearts what is true. Gives to us because he's good and merciful and kind, and he holds it all together. And in him we have science, and in him we have the distinction of right and wrong. He is the cosmic King. He's inviting us to trust him. That's the point of the prayer. Power to believe and trust him, regardless of what the world might say. The order we see is because of him. And the power of this truth is that if Jesus is the cosmic King, the King over the cosmos, then he is the King over our lives, even the littlest thing, every tiny and infinitesimal thing about us. He's the King. And this text, the declaration here, is saying, just as Jesus upholds the universe by the word of his power, or in him all things hold together, he will hold you together in his lordship. The same way that he does it out there, he does it in here. That's what we have with him. And to the degree that you do not want to be under his lordship and do not want to be over under his covering and want to reject his leadership and covering over your life, is to the degree you will continue to experience chaos. If you want cosmos held, you come up under him and get covered and cared for and led in fullness and righteousness. If you push against his lordship and say, I don't want to have anything to do with you, and I'm going to go my own way, and I'll have my own truth, that's where you will have chaos. and that is the experience of the world around us. And you might even, if you're here and you follow the Lord and you're walking through what feels like a personal moment of chaos, because that does happen, doesn't it? We all have experiences in this life. The greatest followers of Jesus, the most dedicated, loving of the truth, will have moments of chaos, and the temptation is to say, well, I'm experiencing chaos right now. Where's the order? To which the scripture will show us that chaos and covering are not about the circumstances of our lives. It's whether or not, regardless of what you are walking through, you are held and covered and loved and forgiven and restored and redeemed each and every day. The promise is not that this chaotic world might, that it will stay far away from you. No, the chaos comes in. What he's saying is, I'll hold you through it. I will hold you through it. That is the promise. That is the power. And so the question is, okay, well, how do we get that kind of peace? That's the question. How do we get that kind of covering? How does that get applied when I'm going through something really painful or something really hard? And that is the answer by the final part of this beautiful prayer. And this is where he gives it to us. You ready? Verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Here's the answer. With and in Jesus, you get qualified. Or in other words, in Jesus, you have been worthied. And that is not a word in the dictionary. But that's what this word qualified actually means. What it means is he took you and the shambles and the hardship and the pain and the suffering, and he scooped you and I up and made us worthy. Spoke over us his life, gave us his righteousness, gave us his authority, gave us his power, gave us his heart. That's what this word is saying. So we get to pray daily. God, I thank you and I worship you because you made me worthy, and nothing can take what I have in you. No chaos of this earth can steal from the peace that you and I can have, even in the hardest circumstances. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you're here, you've given your heart to him, asked him to wash you and clean you, to take the ashes of your life, made that exchange, his beauty and glory and righteousness for your failures and shortcomings, sins, then you have been made worthy, qualified by him. In other words, God's not standing at the top of the stairway saying, all right, come on, you can maybe get there. You do enough good stuff, if you act good enough, if you show up to church enough, then you can be qualified. No, God descended, came down, got with us face to face in his son and said, I bring you my worthiness. You are made worthy. So you can stand up in confidence and walk out of this building and live a brand new life today. You can have a brand new one tomorrow. And so the only real question is, will you let the one who came down to save and redeem, restore, will you let him in? to walk with you, to speak life over you. There's nothing more powerful than what this king says over you. What does he say about you? Where is he taking you? What does he have to say about the mess that you're in? How can he lead you out? What peace does he have for you? It's all there. Will he be the king, not just of the cosmos, but the king over you? You guys stand with me. Going to finish last 2 minutes. Would you do this? If you feel comfortable, you can just put your hands out. You don't have to do this, but if you, it's always good to just posture. It's helpful maybe to posture ourselves. And would you just, the Bible word is confess, but would you just acknowledge and say, here's all the places I try to be in control of my own life. I try to fix things. Here are the fears that I have. Here are the places of hurt, of disappointment, of anger. Places I've felt sad, the places I've felt lonely, places I've felt wounded. Whatever it is, open. Would you offer it to the one who upholds the universe by the word of his power? It is not too big for him. And would you, in exchange, invite him his glory, goodness, his covering, his peace. Now your hands are open to receive as a gift. What do you want to say to me? You can even ask him that question. What would you say to me, God, today? What are your words over me? In you, all things hold together. You can have my world, even the small parts. Offer it to him and receive his leadership, his covering, his goodness, his faithfulness, his radical love and mercy that will walk with you today and cover you and restore you and change you day to day. If you're here frustrated that things aren't changing fast enough, it's okay. Would you just offer that to him? I wish things were moving faster, but I just trust you. I trust you. You're a good father. You give good gifts to your children, and I receive what you have for me today. Peace, rest, love, presence, mercy, forgiveness, refreshing. You can have all of it in him. We bring you our lives, God, because you're the king of the cosmos and you're king of our lives. If you are here and you've never asked Jesus to be king over your life, you can do that even today. It says if we confess our sins that we're broken, he is faithful and he's righteous and just to forgive and to cleanse of all unrighteousness. You can do that today. You can be cleansed and washed and have a new trajectory for your life. Ask him. We're going to finish this morning with some prayer partners. If there's any way we can pray over you, bless you, encourage you, we're going to be here, available. I'm going to pray our benediction as we go in the covering of this God who sees us. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of Jesus, the one who upholds the universe by the word of his power. We pray. Amen. Amen. Blessings, guys. Love you all. And we'll see you next week.